Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. You know, it is a phenomenal day down here at the beach. I've already been out. The water is just great. The beaches are wonderful. And as I was out studying today, and I was thinking, where do I want to take the show? We're moving into the third and last part of Dondi's book called Producing. You know, we've gone through the basics. We've looked at ourselves. We've looked how to go out there and help others. But as I started looking at this, and she titled this Releasing the Potential Within, I started reading it, and it brought back memories of another book that I'd read from a good friend of mine. It seems like every author that I get close to, except Maxwell, seems to be female. But Margaret Finsberg also wrote a book called Scouting the Divine. And both of these ladies have used the vine, the grapevine, as the basis of what they're looking at. And I thought, man, this is so good. Because when you actually look at a vine and you realize that it starts at the roots. And if it's got really good roots, it starts to mature. And as it matures, depending on whether it's growing flowers or it's growing grapes or it's growing something else, you know, it will mature those. And as I read Dondi's book, I flipped back over to Margaret's because I remembered she had a segment in here. And she titled her chapter The Craftsman. And she'd flown out to California to really study the vines because anybody that's read the Bible knows that they drank wine all the time, and sometimes the parables in there have to do with vines. And as she was talking to the vine master, I found this very unique. The vine master says, you know, one of the things that we do is we come out on a regular basis and we look at every cluster of grapes. He goes, at least 3, 4, maybe 5 times, I will reach up and I will massage. I will look at those grapes. I will look at the whole cluster of grapes. And Margaret said, you know, that's a lot of tender, loving care. And he says, that's what it takes to be a good vineyard master. And as I was reading Dondi's book, I thought, you know, this is perfect for network marketers. It's really perfect for anybody in any business, whether they're independent contractors in your downline or whether they're employees that work for you, whether they're vendors or even customers. I mean, the ultimate person is that customer. If we will take time to nurture them, if we take time to study them, if we take time to reach out and find out what can we do, and I really challenge founders and CEOs of companies that might be listening today to listen to this deeply. Because if you will take time out of your schedule to reach out, it's amazing what can happen. And I'll use an example. There was a young lady a few years ago that was a single working mom. I mean, really having a tough time. All of her kids were at home. They were kicking butt. They were doing stuff. And she was out working. And every day to make sure that they had something on the table to eat, she'd order a Pizza Hut pizza, large Pizza Hut pizza. Delivery guy would send the pizza in. Because she had ordered so many pizza, the president and founder, I don't know if it's founder, I guess it won't be the founder now, it's the president of Pizza Hut, he was going through a list of people, and her credit card number came up as somebody that had ordered more pizzas than just about anybody else in the nation at the time. He reached out and talked to her, called her on the phone. She thought he was joking. She didn't think he was the Pizza Hut president. And he assured her that he was and put somebody else on the phone, and they assured her that he was. And he said, I just want to ask you, you know, why do you order so many pizzas? And she shared her story of being a single working mom, raising her kids, wanting to make sure that they had something that they enjoyed, but something that was mostly nutritious. Her story was so compelling to him that she never paid for pizza again. He took care of that. He took that burden off of that single mom. He also shared her story around the nation. Folks, he reached out to one single, millions of people that probably order pizza from Pizza Hut. I can guarantee you that one act allowed that person to become a raving fan of Pizza Hut, and they went around sharing. He helped her release that potential from within. Now, you may be saying, man, this is really off topic compared to the book if you're reading the book with us. And it is, but as I studied this, as I looked at getting into this new section on producing, it really made me realize what it takes if we look at ourselves as the vine, if we look at ourselves as the one that's leading, the one that's growing, the one that's actually nurturing all of our leaders, all of our potential leaders, all of those little budding distributors that are getting started, all of those customers out there that have needs. You know, if we will take that role, it will be amazing how our attrition rate will fall. See, I started looking back yesterday because yesterday was a crazy day for us. We ended up over the weekend, you know, having a company say they were going to sue us because of stuff we posted on our blog and all this. And I sat back and I analyzed things. And I looked at this and I thought, why would a company not realize that all of these comments from all of their distributors, people that are sitting there saying, I love this company and I'm getting flustered because I want it to work, but it's not and I'm getting tired. I thought, why wouldn't a company listen to their own distributors? Why would a company want to censor and violate the First Amendment and cause people not to be able to share their grievances? And I was reading Donnie's book, and I thought, this is the answer here. This isn't a vineyard. This isn't somebody or a company in this case that understands what it takes to produce. See, all through the last 17 days that we've studied Donnie's book, we've been studying how we take care of ourselves. Now we're starting to get into the part where it's going to be on how to mature and produce and help take care of others. No matter where we're at in life, if we haven't first take care of ourselves, if we hadn't gotten rid of the viruses ourselves, if we haven't gotten rid of our dull, negative, disillusioned thought processes, if we don't go out there and feed ourselves first, then there's no way that we're going to be able to produce. There's no way we'll be able to go out there and help others. Yesterday, I had several different people reach out to me. One in particular came to mind as I was studying this. Because Jim and I have been talking over the last few days, and we've called people, honestly, everything from vultures to snakes to professional to the coolest people we've ever seen. And what we've been talking about, just so I can put it in context, is the fact that it amazes us how people propagate the internet whenever they see people hurting. And some people are very professional because they've been in that position, and they reach out in a professional manner and say, dude, we know how tough it is. We understand what you're going through. We love you. If we can ever be of service, let us know. And then there's other people that get a ball bat in their hand and they smack them upside the head and say, you'd be double, triple dumb if you don't join my opportunity because smack, I need somebody like you. Smack, you know, you're already hurting. Let me just smack the other cheek. And yesterday I had a guy reach out to me. I tagged him in a couple of blogs, posts specifically about his company. And he reaches out and says, Troy, I don't know who you are. I've watched your videos. I'm glad that you're pro company, my company. I like what you're doing. You know, are you a distributor or what? Which automatically showed me he really hadn't done his due diligence yet on who I was, and that's fine. You know, I'm just a little guy. But he did it in a very professional manner. So I wrote back to him in a professional manner and said, no, I'm not in it for the money. I'm not in it to harvest your friends. I'm not in it to, you know, recruit you excuse me, into my company. You know, I'm doing this because I honestly really love the company. I really love the founding family, and you were one of the few leaders that were presented to me as somebody that really takes care of their team. And it was humorous to me because he writes me back, and to sum up his response, it was, yeah, right, but what's in it for you? And I thought, is that exactly what the mindset is of every distributor in network marketing? Have we become so calloused? Have we become so hardened because of all the scams, because of all of the money, because of all of the get-rich-quick that the internet has presented, that we forgot about nurturing, that we forgot about producing, that we forgot that at the root of everything is about helping others? You know, when you sit here and you look at and use the vine, just use the vine. I don't care. I use a grapevine because I've heard so many stories about grapevines.
Troy, stop.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I gotta interject something on that. Yeah, I'm not gonna just let that point go without. You know, you made the comment. We've we've been very outspoken on some issues.
Sure.
And I don't care who thinks this person is a leader. When they make a comment like that, they're not a servant leader. They're a self-serving leader. And that's something, you know, yesterday at the end of the show, I made the comment about the difference between a servant leader and a self-serving leader. And I think more people need to really pay attention to what that means. People need to pay attention to who they're joining forces with and, you know, really take a good hard look at that person as to whether they're a servant leader or a self-serving leader. Leaders need to take a look in the mirror and figure out for themselves, are they doing it for the right reasons or is it nothing more than a paycheck to them? Because, you know, life is too short.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we're here is to serve ourselves and to make a paycheck. Well, you got my blood boiling now. Now I'm going to go check out your blog and find out who this guy was, and I'm going to go light him up.
Well,
it
was private, so you can't see it. It was actually sent in a private. But think about this for a minute, Jim. Think about this, because you're on to something. And not only is your blood boiling, but the Federal Trade Commission's blood started boiling, too, over the last 12 months because of this same thing. People have been so focused on the money, so focused on what's going into their pocket, that the endorsements, that the emails, that the blog posts that they've put out, in some cases have really hurt people because people trusted those leaders. Those leaders would do blog posts either on companies or items or whatever and not disclose the fact that, hey, this isn't really an unbiased blog post. This isn't really unbiased email. I'm really getting paid lots of money to get you into this guy's affiliate program. And when he wrote me yesterday, Jimmy, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, this is all over the place. This isn't just one person. This has become the norm. The norm in society today is what's in it for me. And when somebody like us, I mean, folks, listen, you know, I just mentioned Margaret's book. I've never been paid by Margaret. She's given me a hug though, and she wrote in her book, and it's personalized. I love that. I've never been paid by Dondi, but yet I love what she writes. She's a great, great friend. I consult her on issues when I have them. Jim, he hasn't ever paid me, but he gave me some product one day out of the goodness of his heart, and the rest has been history, man. We just became best friends. Folks, this is what America was built on. Think about this, Jimmy. If everybody that would have got on those three boats with Columbus and started heading over here, if they'd have all been thinking about what's in it for me instead of what can we do to help each other, this country wouldn't have, we'd still probably be running around in sackcloths and shooting bow and arrows, dude, because everybody would have been trying to kill each other. Nobody would have been out there trying to work as a team. And that's kind of like, that's how I feel right now. I feel like,
dude, let's not even go down this path, because we have an entire socio-structure, an entire demographic throughout the world that exist on the entitlement mentality. And then there's, you know, there's another mentality of parasites, you know, what's in it for me. And
Ooh, that's good. No. Parasites, that's great. Think about this. This puts us back on topic, and you're going to finish your thought on this, but think about this. If we look at the vine and we look at all these little clusters off the vine, isn't it those parasites that start crawling up the vine and start getting into the fruit and starting to decay the fruit before it even has a chance to mature into ripeness and purity?
Absolutely.
I mean, folks, listen.
You know, it's the parasites, it's the birds, it's, you know, it's the seasons, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I mean, Jim Rohn did a really good series on this many, many years ago, where he talked about, you know, staying in the fields and planting the seeds and, you know, nurturing your crops, tending to your crops. You know, if you're chasing the birds away, you know, you're not nurturing your crops. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of tender love and care. You know, as you mentioned from what the vineyard master had said to Margaret about, you know, how they get these grapes to the point where they are. And the truth is, it takes a nurturing soul to really produce the best product that can ever be produced. And I would share this thought with everybody who's listening. People are the most precious commodity on the face of this planet. Investing our time in people will pay the greatest dividend and reward that you could possibly imagine. Not taking from people, but investing in people.
See, that goes right online. Folks, there's three things that Don D. writes, and it's funny because, listen, Jim and I don't study on what we're going to say. I mean, I study or he studies, whoever's going to be doing the talk on the radio for the most part, but we don't script anything out. This is purely live. But we know how each other think because in our hearts we have the same integrity, the same values, the same core beliefs. So when we're talking, guess what? We also bring in authors. That's why we're doing it with Dondi. And this, when we automatically know the direction we'll go, we don't have to worry about it. And Dondi created three things in this book. This blows my mind because the first was that vine, making sure you yourself have that nurturing that Jim's talking about, has that strength, has the right attitude, has the right values, understands that it's about others, it's not just about you. We all need to pay our bills. Everybody expects you to make money, but you don't do it off the backs of hardworking, good-hearted, innocent people. And the second thing is the pruning process. Folks, for a vine, for a tree, for a cluster of grapes to continue to mature and to grow, there's going to be some pruning. Every now and then, there gets to be a bad little grape in there that can ruin stuff because parasites have gotten in it. And the dull, negative, disillusioned whining can cause people to cause it to start to get into other people. And you got to prune it. You got to cut it off. Jim, I got another email this morning from and I'm going to name this person because I was just blown away with his integrity. But his name's David Rutz. He's the CEO of a network marketing company, and he is so transparent. He sent this email to three of the most vocal people in network marketing, and then he sent it to a friend of ours, a very close friend of ours, and it was a condolence. At the same time, it was an offer if somebody needed a new home, and it was the email. I'm going to send you this email in a minute because it's so neat the way he explains and empathizes. Because he's been there and he understands specifically what they're going through. And basically says, this is the, you know, I left you a message just to say, I understand, and this is the one email I'm sending, and that's it. Folks, he understands because he even puts in the email that he's had to prune every now and then people out of his own organization because of dull, negative, disillusioned whining. Folks, it's amazing when you study just one simple act of God, the vine coming out of the ground. How it correlates to life in general, but especially our business. See, I think a lot of leaders, Jim, have become so disheartened because they grow these large and beautiful organizations just to have somebody come in, like I don't know, I'm not going to name a name, but people come in and they have a big, gigantic pocketbook. And they tell a guy that isn't quite ready to leave the vine, he isn't quite ready to have his grouping of grapes popped off and made into their own separate vine yet. They're still a little weak, but somebody comes in and says, I'll offer you X amount of dollars if you'll quit that company and come over here. And they start feeding them with all these good thoughts, all this motivation, all this recognition. Hey, I know what you've done. Hey, you're the one that helped build XYZ Leader. Hey, you're the one that's done this. You need to have that recognition. These guys study the weaknesses, and then they come in and get them, and usually the teams fall apart. That little cluster of grapes fall apart, but then the leader that lost that beautiful little cluster starts to become hardened himself. He starts to, I think they stop nurturing themselves and surrounding themselves with core people to help them grow, and they just become inward focused. They get so flustered trying to protect a dying vine that they end up self-sabotaging it because they don't nurture the vine, and all of a sudden all the rest of the clusters start to die off and wither and move to somewhere else. And we've seen this over
and
over.
Well, before you go any further, you're going down a little bit of a rabbit hole, but it's noteworthy you're going down because I'm gonna examine the other side of the coin on
mm-hmm.
what you're talking about right
mm-hmm.
there, and that's the point where people start to believe their own propaganda,
mm-hmm.
and they start to believe that they are solely responsible for creating an organization and a following, but yet they've lost sight of the fact that it was through the edification of others and other people praising their good deeds that they were risen to success on the shoulders and on the backs and on the mouths of the team members that built the team that they've grown. No one person, John Maxwell says this in all of his teaching, one is far too small of a number to achieve anything of greatness. Without the aid of others, no matter how we are at anything, no matter how much the Lord has blessed us with talent and ability is never enough. It takes teamwork to make the dream work. And only through supporting other people and never losing sight of where we came from can we ever achieve and sustain anything of greatness.
You know that, and that's it right there, folks. And that was number three in Dondi's little thing. She says support will come from growing your network and seeking mentors. These external resources stabilize and promote growth, like tying the vine to a trestle. Folks, this is what we're talking about. You can't do it alone. You can't isolate yourself. You can't become dull, negative, disillusioned. You can't become a cynic. You've got to do what Margaret talks about with the master vineyard. You've got to be out there nurturing your grapes. You've got to be growing, like Jim just said, yourself. You can't do. There's no lone rangers out here. Folks, it's when we work as a team, when Seth Godin calls it a tribe, when you come together and you realize that egos go away, that you're here to help each other. Tim Sanders, the former chief solutions officer at Yahoo, calls it love. He said, love is the killer app. Just go out there and love on everybody. See how you can help them, and eventually it all comes back to you. It'll benefit you. This is the key. If you're going to start producing, if you're going to start changing, then you've got to reach outside that comfort zone. You've got to nurture yourself and realize you can't do it by yourself. What brought you this far will not take you further. I can tell you that because I've been there. You got to continue to grow. We got Mark Layton with his hand up. Mark, I'm sorry, just looked over here. We've been on a roll. What do you got to do today?
Well, that's okay. I was listening online, and then I had to call in because I just had to say something. Troy, you were talking at the beginning about why people are doing what they are doing, and you will see it across the culture now, and I'm not going to point fingers because anybody who's astute will figure out exactly what I'm talking about. You have people who are the problem or create the problem, and then when the noise gets too loud, they turn around and present themselves as the solution. Now, my wife and I have the good fortune of living in a place where we can get to the vineyards an hour from where we live, and we go a couple of times a year, and I'll tell you what, you talk about nurturing. Many times they will plant a crop and they will not have the right yield for 5, 6, 7 years. They wait and they nurture so that it comes out to be the right thing. And if anybody ever wants to see a graphic representation of this, if you can get the movie A Walk in the Clouds, I think you'll enjoy it. So that's all I had to say today.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. And you know, folks, this is sometimes you got to get outside that. Your comfort zone, but you got to get outside of what's normal to you. Go visit a vineyard. Go visit an orchard. Go online and study some of the stuff that we use as analogies all the time, because there's a reason that we do this. You know, tomorrow we're going to be focusing in on reaching beyond your comfort zone. And everything that we talk about, when you sit down and you listen to these archives, you start to realize how they all tag on top of each other. It's all about helping other people. You know, even people that disagree can always find something they agree on. And I'll use an example. Last night, I was flipping on late right before I went to bed. I opened up and saw O'Reilly was on, and he was watching. He posted just a short clip. You know, he's got that little funny way he does stuff. And it was Geraldo talking with Sean Penn. Now, Sean Penn has been a very outspoken, very negative about our military, in some cases about what our military does. And Bill O'Reilly's brought him to task. But last night, Sean Penn sat there and said, I have a brand new appreciation for the United States military, especially the 82nd Airborne. As I've watched what these men do and where their hearts are at as they're helping people who will never, ever be able to repay them. All of a sudden, folks, when we get outside of our comfort zone, when we break out of our own limited ideologies, sometimes all of a sudden the lights come on and we realize, wow, I need to rethink my focus. Folks, that's what we're talking about here. Leaders that say, it's not about me, it's about others. I've known some great CEOs. Jimmy knows great CEOs. But you know what? We also know some CEOs that are just dull, negative, disillusioned whiners. But one CEO that comes to mind that has been given to this profession, it's sure not grown his business. He's not some super-duper billion-dollar company, is Richard Brooks. This man just loves people. He's been where we've all been at, and he continues to nurture and surround himself and to give to others. And that's what it takes to build a small organization. It's what it takes to build yourself. It's what it takes to build a legacy in this profession. Build anything. I don't care what it is. Your own personal relationship can be built around the vine. Jim, I'm going on a rant again, but I think we're moving into a whole new paradigm for our listeners, and they're going to be able to go out there in 2010 and truly change their lives, both financially, health, physical, spiritually, relationship, I think the whole thing.
Well, you know, I think today would be a great, this is a great point to share with our listeners here at Radio for Your Mind, that on the 4th of February, over at Aces Radio Live, we're doing a special to launch a new program called the $7 Billion Networking University. And Doug Feuerbach, who is a legend in the industry,
yes,
has teamed up with a number of people, and he was gracious enough to invite Troy and I to be a part of that. We're looking forward to it because we're going to be able to do some things that are going to really move this forward and help people to empower themselves and change their lives by bringing a message to a large audience with no strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, brother, but I'm excited about that.
Oh,
the people that I'm seeing that are a part of it everyone that I've talked to is indeed a servant leader.
They truly are. And you know, Jim, there's another servant leader in our life, and we don't get to talk about him very often. And I know yesterday you and I had an opportunity to chat with him, and he's wanting to come public in some stuff. And I think in the next couple, 3 weeks, because you mentioned something about leaders always give, they're always giving out. I think we need to invite Bubba on Aces Radio Live so people can understand a true servant leader and what it takes to build something in network marketing, even when you don't have the best education in the world and you don't have all the credentials, but you have a servant's heart. What do you think?
Man, I don't know. Getting him to come out and actually, you know, talk to people, you know how shy he is.
I do.
That could take some serious arm twisting.
Well, we're going to have to work on that because I think people need to. We've had that blessing. We've had the blessing of having him help mentor us in our business. And I think maybe if he's ready, I know. Gosh, I've never met. Folks, listen to me. I know we're about out of time, and this will be in the archives. But in all of my days in network marketing, I've got 28 years as a professional, over 40 years now as just being in the industry. I have never met a man that is more elusive, more shy, more introverted in a lot of ways than he is, but yet he's probably produced more leaders, more money, more everything than anybody that I know, and it's because of his servant heart. We're going to try to get him on the radio. We won't get him on this one because he doesn't get up this early, and when he does get up this early, he's usually out hunting or fishing or doing something that guys like him do. But Jim, we're going to have to pull out all the stops, even if it means we got to go hunting and barbecue something. We got to get him to at least share a few tidbits with folks.
It's going to be fun to see if we can pull that off.
I think it will. Well, folks, have an awesome day. Tomorrow, we are going to be studying Reach Beyond Your Comfort Zone. It's really going to take the show to a whole new level. Guys, have an awesome day. Live life like it's an epic adventure, and we'll talk to you in the morning.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.